Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
We've also got the story about Venezuela and President Nicolas Maduro.
You're talking about the supposed assassination attempt over the weekend?
No, I have not heard
about some of the National Guard guys said, no, it was just like a gas tank exploded.
This I had not heard about. This was actually...
Yeah, apparently there was a supposed attempted assassination using drones over the weekend. One of the drones, allegedly with explosives, crashed near an apartment building.
This was an assassination attempt against Maduro.
That's the allegation.
Okay.
By Maduro,
yeah.
Is that there was an assassination attempt against Maduro. Some of the National Guard guys said, yeah, there was no drone. It was just something blew up, but there was no assassination attempt.
Just to be clear, this was the Venezuelan National Guard?
Yes.
Okay, okay.
Well, gotcha. I mean, but good question, though, Ian, because there's no telling. We've got military all over the globe. I wouldn't be surprised if our National Guard, New Hampshire National Guard in Venezuela, keeping the peace.
Well, I don't think that Venezuela is going to want the United States government in their land mass anytime soon, because the president there makes out the U.S. government to be the source of all their problems. However, recently he admitted...
I agree with a little bit of that, yeah.
Well, actually, some of their problems.
Not a little bit, some of it, yes.
It's only a little bit, though. But ultimately, the failure in Venezuela is the economic system. And Maduro actually admitted somewhat to some level of failure recently. Quote, enough with the whining. We need to produce with or without outside aggression, with or without blockades. We need to make Venezuela an economic power. No more whining. I want solutions, comrades.
Well, that's a little better than before. That, you know, actually admitting to the real failure, and that is the people, the voters, the people who want everything for free.
Well, I mean, not everybody in Venezuela wants
the people who are left
socialism.
There. I think a lot of the ones who don't want the socialism got out of Dodge a long time ago.
It's a little
you would think incorrectly.
Yeah, easier said than done. I mean, it's not like the other countries nearby want to take on millions and millions of migrants, refugees,
right.
Basically. But you know, the other thing that you need to know about Conan is the voting there is not the solution, because the voting system is rigged. There are a lot of people who
I'm not talking about voting for politicians. I'm talking about voting for stuff, for more things, for more entitlements, for more government control.
Well, usually the only votes you get are for politicians, unless there's some sort of referendum on the ballot.
You know what's going to happen, don't you?
What?
This is the birth of the new Che. This generation's new Che is going to come from Venezuela.
So what will that look like in Venezuela?
Well, a lot of murder, a lot of executions, a lot of anti-government types who are going to these anti-government types who are fighting the opposition or who are the opposition.
Well, they may not be anti-government; they may just be pro their government.
They're anti what they have.
They're anti-Maduro. They may be anti-socialist, but I'm not clear on that. And if there's somebody who's in Venezuela who knows more about the opposition, and maybe there's more than one side to the opposition, who knows?
Right. The opposition is fractured,
right,
just like it is everywhere, to where,
yeah,
you know, it's kind of like getting all of the independent and undeclared voters united behind a single candidate.
Yeah, we're against Trump. So are the Green Party members, right? Like, so,
right.
You know,
so are the Democrats.
Right.
We're not, you know, against Trump the same reason the Democrats are. The Democrats are just against Trump because he's not their guy.
Here's a little bit more here from the AFP. The socialist government has over recent years nationalized various industry sectors such as cement and steel, expropriated hundreds of businesses, including supermarket chains, and lately brought in the army to control street markets. Get this. What's the army doing in street markets in Venezuela? What is their goal?
They're protecting the food.
Hold on. My guess is they're probably trying to get rations for themselves.
Well, that may be going on, but what's their official goal?
Make sure that no one buys more than two of something, because
that's
also
close.
The law.
That's close. According to the AFP, the army has been brought in at Maduro's order to control street markets to guard against rising prices.
Well,
the army is guarding against rising prices.
You can't have them scalpers out there ruining the market, the marketplace. Got to keep it stable, right, Ian?
It's just so insane. I mean, it's just
it
so
doesn't
laughably...
matter that the value of the boulevard has dropped 75% since this morning. You are not allowed to increase the price of that apple.
They're going to send men with guns around to make sure that you're not raising your prices too quickly there to keep up with inflation in Venezuela. Make sure you sell stuff below cost.
So he's been scapegoating on the great U.S., the great evil that is the U.S.,
yes,
and the oil companies and this and that. And
I don't know if he's blamed the oil companies.
I think he has.
He blamed the decline in the price of oil.
Mm.
Well, not necessarily blaming an oil company.
I think right now, when did his article come out? When did he say all this? Just recently?
Within the last week or two.
Yeah, I think he is just saving his neck because he can't keep blaming the same people over and over and over again. I think people are starting to wake up. Now he is saying, hey, look, I'm going to stay in charge. I'm going to be your benevolent tyrant, but...
Well, this is an important thing.
But you guys need to step up and be the solution. You need to help out because you're
I can't do this alone.
Right.
Yeah, and this is actually probably a smart, desperate kind of move
I think it's a really good move on his part.
Because
it's not going to solve the problem, but keeping him from getting lynched...
It'll kick the ball down the road. Yeah,
it's keeping him from getting lynched.
Right, it kicks the can down the road because he can admit some fault here, which is, a man will do that, right? Like, you're a man, you've admitted fault.
It takes a brave man to.
So he's admitted some fault, which he's hoping is going to buy him another chance, right? Okay, my people, now I have the solution. Now we know what to do.
It's going to take 2 years.
Right, 2 years.
Hey,
you're going to starve.
Don't lynch me just yet. If you lynch me right now, then I can't implement these plans over the next 2 years.
Also, according to the story here, the IMF's mind-boggling inflation prediction of 1,000,000% this year says Venezuela's GDP will plummet 18% this year, meaning a fourth consecutive year of double-digit falls in the country's GDP. The economic crisis has hit so hard that the public transport system is almost ground to a halt, with the government and local councils offering free rides in unsafe and uncomfortable pickup trucks branded as kennels by their users. We reported on this a few weeks ago.
That's a great app name for a new ride-sharing company.
Kennel. Kennel truck. And so imagine, if you can't, just a box kind of truck, but not a box truck, but like a flatbed pickup with like a fencing for a box in the back.
Yep.
Just packed full of people.
I could see it.
Yeah.
Like chickens.
Just like chickens. Exactly. Maduro, who blames Venezuela's woes on a, quote, economic war waged by the United States, called on his supporters to help kickstart production and resist U.S. aggression. Washington has imposed financial sanctions against Maduro and top government officials, as well as the state-owned oil company, PDVSA. First of all, if they could quadruple it, how are they going to output that much oil when they can't even get their shipping containers onto a ship to fill the oil tankers, basically, with oil? They can't do it, and you were just explaining one of the reasons why.
Right. So, again, article from tankershipping.com. They say, according to local reports, Suezmax Sonangol Calandula is the first tanker to load Venezuelan crude using the STS method, that ship to ship, since PDVSA proposed the alternative. The tanker had been waiting in the region since February. This article came out a month ago.
So it was sitting there for 5 months, basically, waiting around to try to get some oil, and they did a ship-to-ship load. But my question is, how did it get on the first ship in the first place?
I don't know, and they don't explain.
Yeah,
they're just saying that they're having to do this new method because... And
because,
let me continue with the article. Another 60 Suezmax and Aframax tankers appear to be idle in the region, meaning that they're basically floating in circles at less than 4 knots. According to the vessel values tracking tool, local reports suggest that 24 million barrels of crude oil are due for loading, equivalent to the load program for April.
Repo work can be exciting work, right? Like, you're going to questionable people's houses who are not necessarily honest people, and who might be violent, right? Yep. Like, they might actually try to stop you.
They don't want you stealing what they stole from you.
Well, you're not stealing it. You're taking back what's yours.
In their mind,
it's stealing. But you're just taking back what's yours because they haven't made the payments. So, or the banks, and they hired you to do it. So that's pretty exciting, right? Like, you've got your keys. The bank gives you a key to the car because they had a key. And then you have to go in whenever, you know, the people aren't in the front yard and, you know, get in the car and start it up and get out of there before somebody starts blasting at you
with a shotgun or something. You show up with a tow truck and then you just load the car onto the tow truck and then take off.
That's the other way to do it. That's true. But that's exciting, right? Like, that's an exciting line of work. It probably gets a little intense at times, probably mostly pretty dull, but it can have its moments. Imagine now going into the Caracas port, which you know is going to have some sort of military presence, right? Like, it's run by the government. You're going into the Caracas port. It's your job to repossess heavy loading equipment. Right, so it's not just your typical tow job.
We've got to take your deep water crude oil storage tank.
Yeah, this is going to take an army.
There's this show that's come out apparently recently on YouTube, and I guess YouTube's doing their own thing now, kind of like how Netflix has their own series, series that they're putting together. In fact, Netflix has just an insane amount of programming that they're creating.
Right, and YouTube has even done a good bit of movies where YouTube is producing these movies. They're putting them on their
YouTube exclusive.
The YouTube Red service.
Which is a subscription service.
And it's my thought that they're attempting to compete with Netflix.
Definitely.
That also has a lot of original Amazon programming.
Right, and all their Hulu and...
Exactly. Yeah.
So apparently they've brought back the Karate Kid in a series called Cobra Kai.
Which isn't a satire. Which is what I immediately thought when you started talking about it. I was thinking that these...
You thought it was like Funny or Die college humor made the thing?
Yeah, the two actors got together. They're, you know, retired and they just get together and just like, hey, let's hang out. And they're in their garage and they're just throwing cardboard cutouts at each other.
No, this is like a well-produced looking television series featuring Ralph Macchio, the original Karate Kid from the 1980s, who's now in his 50s. The stuff that, you know, we were experiencing as kids, they're bringing all that stuff back. You know, I was just watching a god-awful Transformers movie last week. The most recent one was absolutely terrible.
Bumblebee?
No, that one hasn't come out yet. That's coming out later this year, and it actually looks pretty good.
All I know is John Cena's in that one.
He is. That's right. The meme guy. The wrestler meme guy.
He's a wrestler. Yeah. Yeah. And apparently you can actually see him in the movie.
Yeah, I guess he's one of the main roles, as a matter of fact.
Well, here's the question. So now why is this happening?
Some people would say that, you know, like, there's not really been anything new in a long time because everybody wants to sort of, you know, like, bring back stuff from their childhood.
Well, it's nothing. Nothing is new. It's nothing new under the sun. Everything's
right.
Been
that was said like 2,700 years ago.
But here's the reason why it seems so prominent, and it really is prominent. And everything that is popular, everything that is doing well in Hollywood right now, is making money. Is a reboot. Everything. None of the independent films. None of the original movies. You just don't hear about them. You might hear about them 10 years from now when they become cult classics.
What about the Marvel movies? Do those count as reboots?
Oh, most definitely. They're not reboots, but they're
taking an old property and
correct. They're characters
revamping
that a lot of us grew up. I grew up with the comic books. I know all those characters.
A couple of the top Netflix shows that are considered Netflix originals, and I want to hear your opinion since you're saying that nothing is original.
I didn't say nothing.
Just The New Black.
I have never seen it.
Original or no?
I haven't seen it, and I'm not going to.
Well, it's one of the top shows on Netflix.
Okay.
And
I haven't seen it, so I can't.
It's an original
thing. I don't have an opinion.
My question isn't, Conan, do you like it? My question is,
how can I have an opinion on it if I don't know anything about it? I don't know who's in it. I don't know what it's
about. Daryl, he didn't say nothing is original.
Originally he did, but
he was exaggerating. But look, I'm going to back Conan up on this one, but let's look at movies. Because when you're looking at Netflix, they're not making money directly off of each of those series. If nobody's watching it, presumably they're not going to continue producing it, but they get their revenue from their subscribers, and then they make what they think their subscribers are going to enjoy. Whereas, you know, with like a television show that's not Netflix, they've got to sell advertisements, and there's more revenue, kind of more direct revenue per show.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy, so I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
And to round out the top 10 here, number 8, Thor Ragnarok. Another sequel to another comic book movie. Despicable Me Part 3 at number 9.
Is that the thing with the little yellow
some little guys,
thing?
Yeah.
The minions?
Yeah.
Okay.
Number 3. And finally, number 10 on the list of 2017 domestic grosses, Justice League, which is, again, another comic book
now,
DC.
I do think that Hulu and Netflix and Amazon have a little more leeway when it comes to producing original content, because they're not, unless it's something like Game of Thrones, they're not spending as much money as Hollywood is.
Right.
And their intended audience is going to, just what you said, they're going to binge watch the whole season all in one sitting. And so I think that, yes, Orange is the New Black, whatever it's about, probably...
It's about ladies' prison.
Yeah, and it's why I haven't watched it. I think it probably might have some original content there that is not... that has definitely been done before, but not like these movies have been done before.
Here's 2018. So just to back you up even further now, because
halfway through the year.
Number one, Black Panther, with over $700 million gross, which is, again, comic book movie.
Comic book. But
number two, Avengers Infinity War, another comic book movie.
Back in the day, when the kids were all around the radio listening to the Saturday morning, what do they call them?
Radio dramas?
Well, you had your Lone Ranger, and you had your Buck Rogers.
Yeah, radio dramas.
Yeah, I mean, those were basically the same friggin' story every single Saturday with the same characters fighting the same villains. They never got anything accomplished, and they're real quick. And
sure.
Is there any difference today, or is it just the same?
Well, I mean, the old story
Are we just a reboot
of
100 years ago?
The claim is that all of the stories have been told, right? Like there's
nothing new under the sun.
Right, that, you know, it's all the hero's journey or whatever, and it's just different characters and different jokes.
And we all go back to what makes us feel good and makes us remember our childhood. The member berries are coming, and you love them, and you want to get more.
And what exactly are member berries?
All right, if you ever watched South Park, you would know.
Okay, there's a bunch of people that don't watch South Park that have no clue what a member berry is.
It's a thing in a South Park episode of berries that go, I remember
that.
And it's always about some sort of thing from the past.
Remember when Han Solo shot first?
I remember. Yeah.
It's all nostalgic memories of our past. You brought up
The Solo movie was good, by the way.
You brought up an original idea that just consumed every member berry on the vine, and that was Stranger Things.
Which is one of the top shows on Netflix
it's a callback to the 80s.
It's a great original idea. The characters are new and original. The story seems original. Mm-hmm. And no, everything about it is what I remember feeling growing up.
San Francisco tech company is going to be prohibited from giving their employees what is a pretty sweet perk, free food.
You better believe it.
Go to this cafeteria and just eat to your heart's content. These are these ginormous kind of campuses, as they're called. Now, they're not workplaces. They're campuses now, and that's where they hire these people in, and they give them, like, a bunch of free crap and, like, games they can play, and it's basically they've got a bunch of kids.
Some of these places, you got to feed the dogs. Otherwise, you're going to get home one day, and your dogs are going to be on the neighbor's porch.
Well, yeah, they got to provide all these benefits, or else they'll go somewhere else.
Every job has its quirks, and it sounds like these guys are throwing the food out there because it works.
But now, if for whatever reason you want to open your business in San Francisco and pay the insane rents or property values in order to do that, you will be prohibited. And not just San Francisco, you said in multiple cities around that area.
Multiple Bay Area cities. And again, article from Business Insider says when Facebook moves into a new complex in the city of Mountain View into an area called The Village, workers will not be able to enjoy a beloved perk, cafeterias with unlimited breakfast, lunch, and supper. The city of Mountain View prohibits companies from fully subsidizing meals in the village, and the rule could spread to other Bay Area cities in the future. Glazer continues, I do think it's reasonable for the community to expect us to engage, whether that's voting, volunteering, or buying lunch at an independent cafe down the street. This guy, wow. This is a guy that runs a business, and he's like, oh, yeah, come on, just force me to do whatever you think is good, because I like...
Wait, who is Glazer?
He's the guy that runs Periscope Data, which is a tech company
in San Francisco. But
that
was the one that is already going to the... There was one company you mentioned that's already going to the local businesses, the local restaurants.
That's the guy.
Yeah, so of course he's happy about it.
Right.
He doesn't have a cafeteria. So
right, he doesn't want one because, and that's why he's trying to get them to force everybody else. I do this, so everybody else should do this, and I'm going to force it through legislation.
Right, he doesn't have a cafeteria in his business, so he has to pay more, right? So this guy's paying more for catering or large orders or whatever at local businesses as compared to if you hire a cafeteria company, they get all the food from Sysco on the truck right there. It's more economic.
Yeah,
you know, they're
the
making
company
big batches.
Caters all of its food from local businesses.
Yeah, he's paying more, so he's not as competitive to being able to hire these young people that just want to stay in this one place and eat at the one place and go home, and the app culture is what you're talking about here.
In San Francisco, there is a proposal.
Okay.
That would prohibit a cafeteria.
Any cafeteria on a company's campus.
In Mountain View, they have a law that prohibits the company from subsidizing meals in a cafeteria.
So, presumably they could sell the meal at cost.
In theory, and again, neither one of us have pulled up Mountain View's ordinances to read what it is. The article...
And the claimed reason for this in the case of Mountain View is they want to drive business into the hands of restaurants.
Well, that's the claim in both places, is we want the workers to leave the facility and go be part of the community and... buy from local businesses and help support the community that they live in.
Right,
and defeat app culture.
In San Francisco's mid-market neighborhood, local food retailers have especially struggled to gain foot traffic because of the prevalence of free workplace meals, according to Gwyneth Borden, executive director of the Golden Gate Restaurant Association. Twitter, which as of 2015 employed about 2,000 employees in San Francisco and is one of the biggest tech employers in the mid-market area, opened its headquarters in the neighborhood in 2012. Since the new rule would not apply to existing on-site cafeterias, Twitter would not be affected, and other tech companies like it, only if they decide to expand their footprint in the city. Twitter declined to comment, as did Facebook.
Why should they say anything about it? I mean, they are more competitive now because of this new rule, if it passes in San Francisco, and there's no reason it won't. It's San Francisco, so you can pretty much figure this one's a done deal. But they've got more bargaining posture now. Now, when a tech person is looking at a job in San Francisco, if they're looking at Twitter and they're looking at Facebook, all other things being equal, you get free lunch at Twitter. Free breakfast, free dinner, and you don't get that at the new Facebook facility if this goes through.
Facebook says that they chose the location of that new Mountain View facility, quote, because of the proximity to public transit, housing, shops, and restaurants.
Mike Judge, I think that he's brilliant. I've liked everything that he's ever done, so I'm sure that I'd like Silicon Valley.
Yep.
One thing that I thought about, you were talking about the business owner that was catered his stuff out, and he was talking about like the app generation or whatever. App culture, that's it. Well, I mean, they're just going to start using their Grub. I'm not sure if you guys have Grubhub there in Keene, but it's kind of a big deal.
Describe what it is. Grubhub.
It's essentially, even if a place doesn't deliver, it's an app on your phone where you can order. I mean, the restaurant I work with, we don't deliver, but we deal with Grubhub. It's essentially Uber for food delivery.
So it's like Uber Eats, but a different company.
I think Uber Eats was their version of Grubhub. I think Grubhub came first, right?
I'm not 100% sure.
I just think
know
so.
That it's kind of become, you know, and so...
This is an old idea, just a new spin on an old idea. I remember a decade ago, there was a company, you know, in Sarasota, or I guess... been more than a decade since I've been there, but in Florida, when I lived down there, there was a company that had like a list of menus that they would go to these restaurants and pick up whatever it is you wanted them to pick up and deliver to your house. Kathy, you were there in the late 70s, early 80s, and I wanted to find out, do you still know anybody in Venezuela that you are connected with today?
I can. The last time I was able to contact anybody in Venezuela was actually about when Chavez took over, and after that, no mail delivery, couldn't get phone calls through, couldn't get anything through at all. The thing I had wanted to point out is that the person who told me they saw it coming, they said, yeah, either you get eggs delivered to you or you deliver them. There's no two ways about it. The division between rich and poor was just so stupendous.
It's probably even worse today. I mean, there's probably fewer rich people and probably no middle class or very little middle class left.
No, the rich people that I know of have somehow managed to wangle green cards through one thing or another and have they've gotten out, yeah.
Anybody who can afford to get out of Venezuela, I would agree, should have by now likely have left.
I'd like to talk a little bit about this must-see documentary that is in theaters now. Well, I don't know if it's
a documentary in theaters? That's almost unheard of.
It's called Won't You Be My Neighbor, and it's about Fred Rogers and his Mr. Rogers Neighborhood show, which... if I understand correctly, aired from the 1960s to the 2000s. So really good run.
Yeah.
But, you know, Fred Rogers, with all the incredible insight and wisdom that he had, he was very much against race or against racism.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell based on... on some of the early episodes they had. And you have to wonder, if Fred Rogers was alive today, how would he deal with someone like Sarah Jong, or more specifically, with the seemingly ever-growing trend of racism against white people, but also just racism across the board?
Well, first of all, you have to realize that if it's a minority... who is spouting out bigotries against other races, if it's against the oppressor, then it's not actually racism.
Jones is coming out on top. I said a couple days ago when all this, you know, when he got knocked out of YouTube, he got knocked out of Facebook, got knocked out of three other platforms all on one day. I said, Jones is getting huge publicity off of this. Yep. This is going to play directly into his narrative of conspiracy theory, persecution, all of that. And sure enough, according to one of our chatters...
The techies are run by they're not run by, but they are heavily subsidized and controlled by government and regulators and the left, the liberals.
Jones tweeted out today, because he's still on that platform. They haven't cut him off yet, surprisingly.
I thought that was the first platform he allegedly got banned from.
They reneged,
not this week.
They reneged on that today.
Really?
I think he was dropped for 12 hours or something.
Oh, really? Because it wasn't reported that way on Monday. But anyway...
Wow, somebody would wind up misreporting something because, you know, people want things to be clickbaity.
Yeah, I don't know. I had not heard anything about Twitter dropping him. But anyway, Jones tweeted out, the world responds to the hashtag censorship purge while making the hashtag InfoWars app number one.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.